This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
Men in minority groups in Wisconsin face some of the sharpest disparities in things like education, health, employment in the country. Last month, President Obama called on communities around the U.S. to take the My Brother's Keeper Challenge, geared at helping disadvantaged boys through school and into a career.
Milwaukee has responded to that challenge with the nation's first ever Boys and Men of Color Week. It began last Saturday and it ends tomorrow. And it's been aimed at getting organizations from throughout the community to talk and coordinate their community building efforts.
The week has included events like a day of prayer, healing and fellowship, as well as conversations about youth organizing, violence prevention, and a fatherhood summit.
Lead organizer Jeffrey Roman joins us now. He's the benchmark coordinator for the Minority Male Achievement at the Community Advocates Public Policy Institute. Jeffrey, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Rob. Thanks for having me, Veronica. Happy to be here.
Well, what was the motivation for Milwaukee's Boys and Men of Color Week? How did it get started?
The motivation really was propelled by the White House's advancement of the My Brother's Keeper initiative, which is really the latest addition to a national movement that started about 8 years ago around improving outcomes for boys and men of color, with a particular focus on African-American males. And so here in Milwaukee, we've been doing this work and working to organize and coordinate efforts for a number of years now, but really didn't get the impetus to really take it to the next level until the My Brother's Keeper initiative was launched back in February of this year.
So that in mind, what were your goals going into this week?
So our goals going into this week was really about changing the narrative. For every one negative thing that we hear about a young man of color, there are 10 or 15, 20 positive stories that we don't hear in our community. So goal number one was about lifting up the resiliency and the great and positive things that young men of color are doing here in Milwaukee, in the southeast region of the state, and across the state to change the narrative and to show that there are positive young men here in Milwaukee.
Well, let's go with that for a little bit. Resiliency and positive narratives. Can you tell us a few? What do you want people who may be listening and don't have that resiliency yet? What do you want them to know about the power that they have?
I want them to know that you are in control of your own destiny. And if you are committed to doing what you have to do to be strong, to be self-determined, you can do whatever it is that you want to do in this city, in this state, in this country, and that it's up to you, provided you have the support and the resources necessary to do that. Mentors, you have a pathway to quality education, you have a pathway to an internship or a service or a public ally internship. You can do anything that you want to do, provided you have the support and the resources you need to do it.
Now, why do you feel that it is men and boys that needed to be focused on right now in this week?
Really because of the opportunity that the White House and the national movement has given to us. I started this work at about 12 years ago. I started doing teen pregnancy prevention work and saw that we were having a conversation that was one-sided. We were talking about the things that young ladies needed and young girls needed to keep themselves from becoming pregnant, but we didn't talk about the other side of the equation, which was that they're young men and the role that they play in teen pregnancy. And so for me, it was a personal thing. How do we level the playing field and make sure that we're adequately responding to the needs of young men in teen pregnancy in this work? And it grew from there. And it grew into, you know, how are we looking at the educational disparities and looking at violence? And we always have these one-sided conversations. So this week was really about leveling the conversation and making sure that we're focusing on the other side of the equation.
Do you think that men in minority communities can get overlooked?
I think so, because of the negative messages that we have out there for young men of color in Milwaukee specifically. We tend to focus on the negative, those negative things versus looking at the positivity and the positive things that are happening with young men.
Can you talk a little bit about why this may have been particularly important to do in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, and what challenges that might be specific to men living in Milwaukee?
Sure. So we know that for the state of Wisconsin, we have the highest incarceration rates in the nation for African American men. We know that in Wisconsin, because in Milwaukee, that we have among the lowest graduation, high school graduation rates, and it's all happening here, particularly in communities of color. And so we thought it was particularly important to really focus this conversation here in Milwaukee, where the majority of young men of color reside, and where the majority of young men of color work, and where the majority of young men of color have their families and build their communities. And not that it's just singularly focused or exclusive to Milwaukee, but we know that this is where the base is, and we know that this is where the majority of those young people live. And if we can work with them to be able to pull themselves up in this community, we can be an example for other communities, like communities across the region and across the state.
I understand that there are six goals or focus areas that you had going into this week. Do you want to talk about what they are and why they're important?
Sure. So the My Brother's Keeper initiative really gave a framework to help cities align and come up with a strategy to be able to improve outcomes for boys and men and all young people in general. And so they're broader goals that focus on all young people, and there are six of them. The first is that all children enter school ready to learn, and that they are ready cognitively, physically, socially, and emotionally. The second is that all children can read at grade level by third grade. The third is that all youth graduate from high school and that they graduate from high school on time. The fourth is that all young people complete or have a pathway to post-secondary education or training, and whether that's a four-year college degree or a two-year vocational program or an internship, they have those pathways to post-secondary education and training. The fifth is that all youth who are of working age are employed or have a pathway to employment. And then the last one is that all youth remain safe from violent crime and are provided second chances.
And you had your, as we said, this was your first week. Tomorrow it ends, and it began with a day of healing and prayer. What happened on that day?
So what we did, we wanted to make sure that the week was inclusive of all the communities and of all the sectors that we believe play an important piece to improving outcomes for all young people in Milwaukee, particularly young men. And so the first day of the week on Sunday was a day of prayer, healing, and fellowship. And what we did was we reached out to our faith-based partners, our congregations, our mosques, our synagogues, and we asked them to use their most important tool of empowerment, prayer followed by action, to help set the tone for the week in their respective contexts and their respective religious programming. So that was the start of the week. And then on Monday, we turned to our academic community, and we went to the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and we organized and we worked with the faculty and the various departments and schools at UW-Milwaukee to really talk about what is the role of academia in this work. What are we doing about evaluation, and what are we doing about data collection, and how are we evaluating the work and measuring the impact that we have? And then on Tuesday, we opened it up to the entire community via social media. And so we were on Twitter and on Facebook and in other outlets talking about and engaging the community about what are some ideas, how do we shape a cooperative vision for Milwaukee, what are things that need to happen, and what are your experiences, what are your stories, how can we inform this work moving forward.
And we'll pick up on the rest of that when we come back. We're speaking right now with Jeffrey Roman. He's the lead organizer of Milwaukee's Boys and Men of Color Week. The event began last Saturday and it ends tomorrow. It's geared toward tackling challenges facing Milwaukee's minority men in areas of education, health, employment, and more.
You can join in at 800-642-1234 with serious racial disparities in Wisconsin. Do you see them? How does this play out in your community? What kind of action is your community taking to deal with them? What would you like to see done that isn't being done? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation about Milwaukee's Boys and Men of Color Week with main organizer Jeffrey Roman. The initiative began last Sunday and it ends tomorrow. It's geared toward tackling the disparities minority men in Milwaukee face in areas like education, health, and employment. And it's also a response to President Obama's My Brother's Keeper Challenge issued last month.
And you can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Wisconsin has some of the biggest racial disparities in a number of categories in the whole country. How do you see those playing out around you, and do you have solutions? What do you think might help close those gaps? What's going on in your community, in your life? And did you participate in the events this week? What did you come away with? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Now, we were talking earlier about the high incarceration rates in Milwaukee for African-American males. And one of the problems that you see there is what you call the prison pipeline. Can you talk about that and how that might play out and how you'd like to reverse it?
Sure. So we know that young men of color, particularly in the education, the early education system, for various reasons, are put on a trajectory to the criminal justice system. There are touch points, even within the school systems, that are early touch points to the law enforcement, early touch points to the criminal justice system that happens in the school system. And so one of the things that we're working with our school district and with the educational systems is, how do we start to change the cultures of our schools to identify and become culturally responsive to the needs and to the varying cultural dynamics and cultural nuances that young people of color face within the school systems, to prevent and to challenge our schools to be able to prevent that pipeline to law enforcement within the school system.
Is that one of those narratives that you think needs to be challenged, that young African-American men see what you call the prison pipeline and it becomes a something that feels like it would take a lot of work not to be part of that, that they need to move in a different direction, and you're trying to get different options and different narratives on the table?
Yeah, it's really about exposing young people to the resources and to the pipelines to other options, whether that's career, college, whether that's service, whether that's looking at ways to be entrepreneurs or being innovative. It's really about the exposure, exposing them to mentors at an earlier age, making sure that that resources and services are wrapped around young people of all ages, of all colors, so that they don't have to look for alternatives in the underground market or in the negative things that far too often in communities of color and urban central communities are at the surface. So it's about exposing them to those positive things.
One thing that's going into this effort is to get all kinds of organizations with similar interests to talk together, to work together. Do you have some examples of how that happened this past week?
Yeah. So the very reason that we had Boys and Men of Color Week was to demonstrate that we can coordinate and collaborate. And so there were a number of organizations who were looking at and following the lead of President Obama and the lead of the national movement around Boys and Men of Color, who wanted to, you know, say that we play a part in this and we want to do our part to be able to make sure that all young people in our community are successful and are advancing equal to everybody else. And so it was the willingness of, you know, for example, the Nonprofit Center of Greater Milwaukee and some of our funders, United Way and the Berg Foundation, who were having similar conversations in their spheres of influence that connected with other organizations, that connected with our faith partners, that connected with our academic partners and said, we're all talking about the same thing. It doesn't make sense to do it in our own silos. So let's demonstrate a way to coordinate and collaborate. And that's what we did this week. That was the impetus behind Boys and Men of Color Week, was to demonstrate authentic collaboration here in Milwaukee because we're willing and we're able to do it.
Were there conversations happening that never would have happened without this week?
I think what we did this week, what we accomplished this week, was we set a table for those who were having the conversation to start to have them together. And so there were many, there's a lot of conversation happening around education. There's a lot of education happening around health, around access to health. There's a lot of education or a conversation talking about access to employment and opportunities, but they're happening in parallel to one another. And so what this week did was to start to set the table so that those who are working on those varying things, focus on young men and focus on communities and focusing on families, could all start to begin to talk about those things together.
One of the events during the week was called a Day of Dialogue. And I wonder if you could talk about what was said, what came up during that day.
A lot of the things that we saw throughout the week actually was, this is something new for us here. We always talk in our own circles. We always talk in our own silos, but we've never had an opportunity, or we rarely have an opportunity, what I call the convergence of interests, where we can come together and really talk about the good things that we're doing here in Milwaukee, where we can talk about the great resources and the great work that's happening in Milwaukee. We never get an opportunity to pat ourselves on the back. And I'm really excited and really happy that we were able to do that this week. We were able to highlight those that are doing the individuals and organizations that are doing the great work on the ground, the policymakers and the academic people and our faith leaders who are really out in the trenches working to be able to improve outcomes. And we set the stage for that and highlighted the positivity happening in Milwaukee.
If you've got any on the, you know, the tip of your brain, as it were, right now, do you have any of those positive pat yourself on the back stories that came out of this week?
Well, there are a number of them. I think this week alone is one of those stories. But I do want to lift up one of the individuals, one of the people that we was sort of behind that. The reason of doing that, there was an individual, Andre Lee Ellis, here in Milwaukee, an older gentleman. Who decided that he wasn't going to wait on anybody to come to his neighborhood to help redirect the young men and the young people in his neighborhood. And so he decided on his own to organize his community, started to do work, to develop a garden in his community and invited young people to work with him. And every week throughout this summer, this past summer, more young people, more people from the community joined him at his community garden and started to change the things and the dynamics in their community just by engaging them and talking to the young people in those neighborhoods. Those are the type of things that we wanted to lift up, that there are pockets of resilience and pockets of success and people in our community that often aren't recognized for the great things that they're doing. And this is an opportunity to be able to lift that up.
Now, another one of the events I want to talk about is the Fatherhood Summit.
Yes.
I wonder if you could talk about what kinds of issues came up and what you're tackling there.
So the Milwaukee Fatherhood Summit this year, it's its ninth annual summit that was led by the Milwaukee Fatherhood Initiative. And again, it's about the role in empowering fathers in our community to be stronger fathers and stronger mentors and stronger providers in the lives of their children. So it's all about resourcing fathers and older men. How do we look through our own challenges and work through our own challenges so that we can be present and involved in the lives of our children? How do we start to repair the relationships that we have with our significant others for the benefit of our children? How do we start to work together as a community for the benefit of our children? And the Fatherhood Summit is all about building that up and looking to our men and our fathers and having them recognize and understand that they have a role to play and that our communities are only as strong as our fathers, are only as strong as our families, and are only as strong as our communities working together.
Now, you had all of these organizations coming together, all of this positivity and empowerment happening this past week. It ends tomorrow. What's the roadmap going forward?
Well, the roadmap going forward is, you know, based off what we've started this week, let's continue the conversation. Let's continue the collaborative spirit of having a conversation about the great things that are happening here while acknowledging some of the barriers and biases structurally that we have to face to be able to overcome some of the barriers that impede progress for young men of color. And so I'm excited that about the conversation moving forward, and that a lot of people, the feedback that we've been getting is that a lot of people are motivated and were inspired this week and authentically want to continue the conversation and identify the role and want to commit to be able to move this forward.
Now, it all ends tomorrow, as we said, this first week that you have tried here. What happens tomorrow? What's the big grand finale?
So the grand finale actually was, it's been a grand week already, but the finale tomorrow is the end of the Milwaukee Fatherhood Summit. They wrap up the week. We've had a long week of great things going on, but it wraps up tomorrow with the Milwaukee Fatherhood Summit, the second day. And it's really about, you know, coming together as a community, understanding the roles that we all play and supporting each other. But the conversation won't end tomorrow. The work doesn't end tomorrow. We just wanted to set the table this week. And you can look forward for a lot of things coming out of our Boys and Men of Color initiative here in Milwaukee.
Any final message you want to leave with people who hear you and might want to get involved for next year or down the road?
I just want to leave with you our contact information. You can reach us at www.bmocmilwaukee.org or you can hashtag and Twitter us at BMOCMKE and help us realize our vision. And that is a vision where all young men of color and all young people in Milwaukee are healthy, productive, and empowered to live their lives to their fullest potential. That's what we're reaching. That's what we're reaching to do, and that's what we're committing to do.
Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Jeffrey Roman, the lead organizer, of Milwaukee's Boys and Men of Color Week. It began last Sunday, and it ends tomorrow, and focuses on tackling disparities facing Milwaukee's boys and men.